You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
Isn't it great to be together here this morning? And I really am so excited, everything that's happened up until today and this morning here with all of the singing that's going on and all the great things. Thank you so much, the singers, Bill, and everyone who put together that performance of our good Father. You warmed our souls. Amen. And thank you for all the singers and the hearts that they put into this. It's a lot of work to come together and sing in such an inspiring way. Amen. So I have a chance to share some things about Father's Day. And luckily, I qualify. I'm a dad. I got two children. Amen. I didn't kill them or break them permanently. They've been injured at times, but never beyond repair. And today I just took a time because when Jim asked me if I wanted to do this, a few years ago for my birthday, McCall took this book, Thoughts to Share with a Wonderful Father. And it's poetry about fatherhood. And then she annotated it. She put in her own little comments about things about me and us and our family and our relationship that really stood out to her. And it's very heartwarming to me. So I will get a chance to share a couple of those thoughts as we go through this today. But if we go to our first slide there, is we should feel home when we're at church. Amen? And the biggest thing about a father is to try to create a home. And God wants us to feel like this is our home. This is where we belong. This is the good place that changes our perspective. It changes our understanding. It builds us up. It sends us off for another week of really striving to imitate him. Amen? So if you'll be turning to Luke chapter 2 in verse 41, we're going to read a story about Jesus being lost. And I have a rather vivid lost memory. When I was a young child, my father, he loved to go to the beach. And he didn't just like going to Orchard Beach. Those of you from the BX, there's no waves in Orchard Beach. He loved going to Rockaway, to all the beaches out there. Now, my dad couldn't swim a lick, but he loved the ocean. He loved the waves. So if you've ever played in the surf, you know that the surf constantly moves you down the beach as you're in it. I was about 4 or 5. My sister had been born. My next brother, the youngest one, hadn't come along yet. But I remember hours of playing and then looking up and realizing I was nowhere near my family at all. I had gotten completely shifted from them, and I'm looking around with this incredibly scared feeling of, where are my family? Where are they? And then I guess they'd been moving up and down the boardwalk looking to see where I was, and I remember them coming towards the railing of the boardwalk and me being found. And the relief that I felt at that fear of, like, where are they? And then seeing them come over towards the railing and realize I'd been found. You know, for us, Father's Day can generate a whole gamut of feelings. All of us in here as dads, we want to be great fathers. Some of us have amazing memories of our dads. Some of us, we don't have those memories, but, you know, we have these aspirations, and God wants to even fill up that role for us. You know, today, God wants us to feel at home in church. Amen? So in chapter 2, verse 41, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. You guys remember what teenagers can be like. They can be a little bit rash, right? After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. So they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" his heart was like, you should have come straight here. Once you know I was missing, you should have come straight to the temple of the Lord. This is exactly where I'm going to be. And if you've ever had a child that's become a teenager, and this is 12, that's that age, sometimes they make decisions that make perfect sense to them, but the rationale behind it makes absolutely no sense to the parents. Even at a young age, Jesus knew where he had to be. If Jesus were here today on this earth, he'd be in a service just like this today. He'd be with us today. He'd want to be amongst us today. He was surprised they were searching. He's like, you should have just come right to my father's house. You know who I am, right? And now, he did freak his parents out. And I'm not advocating that it's okay for children to leave their house without warning and just show up at the local church, okay? If they'd celebrated Father's Day back then, I could imagine what Joseph might have felt like. I've lost the boy. I've lost the Son of God. I'm a bad dad. Have any of you guys ever lost your child at some point, even for a few minutes? The child is lost. You know? Even today, God would want us to be found in here. If he showed up, he'd want us to be found in this setting. He'd want us to be in church. Jesus would want us to be in his Father's church, in his Father's house. You know, we all want to belong to something. Let's strive to belong here. Let's strive to understand what it is to have that relationship with God. Amen? Now, John chapter 14, we're going to be right reading there in a moment. Do you guys remember the Motel 6 commercial? We'll leave a light on for you, right? Well, why did they say that? Yeah, it's directing you home. And the whole idea of a light being on, that was before streetlights. If they left a candle in the window, it was a sign, you know, you can come and knock on the door. You can come in here. So it was meant to be a direction. So that Motel 6 commercial, we'll leave a light on for you. In John chapter 14, Jesus wants to leave a light on for us. In verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going to that place to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I also am with him. He wants his house to be a home. You've ever visited someone's house and you felt like you were at home? You know what I'm saying? That warm feeling? He's got a room prepared for us. This is not just the Jesus Inn or the High Quality Inn or the Eternal Days Inn, okay? This is the turn-down service, chocolate on the pillow for those who've been on a cruise, the folded towel animal on the bed every night. Jesus wants us to understand how precious we are to him. He's made a home for us. He's prepared a room for us. He wants us to feel home with him. This is not just, I'm imposing on you, Jesus, will you let me have a bed? Okay? This isn't just, I'm kicking Timmy out of his room so you can stay in his bed, but just know that I'm kicking Timmy out of his room. You're not going to be asked to stay under the stairs like Harry Potter. Okay? We all have the best father, amen? And Jesus is an incredible big brother imitating his father's heart in what he expresses to us in John 14. He just wants to be that close and connected to us, amen? But you know what? Our response to that can bring an amazing praise to God. If you look in Matthew chapter 5, we're going to turn there. Our response to God wanting to be that close and connected to us has an ability for us to bring praise to our Father in heaven. Amen? So, I have another story. I have a sneeze. Doesn't happen often, but it's legendary. And it's actually genetic. I've inherited this sneeze from my father. It is the single loudest sneeze. Throughout my high school, we teach with our doors open. And when I sneeze, four or five classrooms, I'm in a corner room, so four or five classrooms in both directions, the teachers will stick their head out the door and say, yep, that's Finn. My nickname at school is Finn. They call me Mr. Finn. McCall and Caitlin's friends, some of them call me Papa K-Finn, K-Finn. I got all these different nicknames. But at school, they call me Mr. Finn or Finn. So it's a famous Finn sneeze. The sneeze heard round the school. Even in our home, I've got these memories of my dad. When I sneeze, I smile. And one of my students said, "Why do you smile when you sneeze?" I said, "Because when I sneeze, I'm reminded of my dad. It actually connects me to him on an emotional level." You see, there's just so many things like that where you try to just bond with your father, you know, in those ways. In our home, there's all these projects I've done with my dad, you know, taking parts of the house apart and all kinds of stuff. We've even visited the family farm where my parents grew up in Ireland, and he showed me things that he's done around there, houses, walls. He's dug a river, you know, 4 feet wide, 3 feet deep, to drain a field about 200, 300 yards long. He dug a river to drain this field so they could farm the field because it rains a lot in Ireland, and this field was at the bottom of like four hills, and you couldn't farm it otherwise. So there's just things about my dad that it makes me connect. You understand what I'm talking about? And God wants us to connect that same way. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Every time you do something that God would want you to do, he's like, "Amen." He's excited because you're getting a chance for him to get honor from your heart. And anytime you serve in a way that God would be inspiring you to serve, God is just looking down and saying, "I'm so excited about that. I'm so proud of it." You're letting your light shine. Anytime you share your faith, regardless of what response that you get, God's like, "Amen, I'm letting the light shine." Guys, let our light shine. Let's turn it up a little bit, okay? Let's really be that kind of people that understand our lives can bring praise to God. You know, as Christians, our care and concern, our prayers and our actions, our godly behavior in challenging situations. Some of us have very challenging situations. We just dropped off a bag of groceries to Freddie Irvin yesterday. And she's just going through the most challenging changes in her life. But she's faithful to God, and it's bringing praise to God. And she's even seeing her children coming through this in ways like it's just so amazing. But that life brings praise to God in heaven. Amen. And we know Drew would be so proud of that family, and he's just rejoicing. God is rejoicing. Amen. We should strive to imitate him and give God props whenever we do things that are inspired by him. You know, God is the one that inspired me. And pray to recognize God's Spirit working in us. Some of us are easily prompted by God's Spirit. Some of us, we constantly are being nudged, but you resist the nudge. You're becoming a nudge yourself, you know? We need to be nudgeable, okay? We need to be moved by God's Spirit. We need to be taking opportunities to share the faith. We need God, the Spirit loves to preach. You need to take opportunities to make those opportunities happen. Amen? Fathers can dispense special knowledge. If you look in Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, we're going to look there. But my dad, he taught me to be willing to try anything. We've taken houses apart. We've replaced an engine in my sister's car. Neither of us are mechanics. We replaced an engine in my sister's car. We just labeled all the parts. This is before YouTube. This is before you could look anything up. YouTube's a relatively new innovation. There was no YouTube out there. It was Kevin Tube. My dad was like, "We can do it." We went to a junkyard. We got an engine. We rented a lift. We backed the car into the garage, disconnected all the nuts, bolts, wires, plugs, and everything, and just cranked that bad boy out of there, and we dropped the other engine in, and we replaced an engine in a car. The craziest thing was there was one little wire, because an engine sits on motor mount, so it's insulated from the rest of the car. There's one little wire called the ground wire, and we're cranking this engine, and it isn't turning over. And my dad's next-door neighbor, Martin, he comes over, and he goes, "What about this wire right here?" And I was like, that can't be the thing. We connected, car starts right up, because the engine wasn't grounded. There was no way for the current to flow back. But God wants to dispense special knowledge to us too. In Luke 10, verse 21, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise you, Father, for the Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, but revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. If you're here today, God has a plan. He wants to reveal to you knowledge through the Word of God, through being in church, that can change your life. Even if you're a Christian, it can build you up. If you're not even sure if you're a Christian, it can change your life. We had some people make decisions about baptisms. I'm going to hold you in abeyance. You're going to find those at the end. Some people got baptized this week. Some more people want to get baptized this week. People's lives are changing. We need to understand that God wants to reveal his wisdom to us. So if you're here as a member of our church, or even if you're just visiting, you've got a Bible. Our Father wants you to know him, and he wants you to teach you that stuff. You got to ask yourself, are you ready to learn? You know, he wants to teach us that special knowledge, but we got to be ready to learn. He's willing to reveal it. Now, here we are, and Caitlin's going to come up in a moment too, but first, so this is why I started looking into the book. Amen? The book of encouragement. I look at this thing, and it just builds me up. So, if we go to that next slide, it says here, she gave it to me for my birthday, but Dad, happy birthday. I love you so much. I hope through this book can serve as a reminder of how I feel about you and how much I appreciate you. Thank you so much for choosing to be such an amazing dad. Love, McCall. And there's these different poems and everything like that. And the first one, if you turn to Joshua in chapter 1, is that children need a lot of encouragement. Growing up's not easy. Even right now, Caitlin's like, this adult life, it's hard. The car is giving me problems again. Bills, work, all this, it's hard. Children need encouragement. Amen? So this is what she wrote. This is the poem. So this is for you, for the one who has helped me throughout all my childhood, fears and failures, and turned all that he could into successes and dreams. And she writes, like you did at the beginning of this semester when she was in college, when I was scared and crying, and you turned to Joshua with me, showing me that I keep holding on to God's word, you will be prosperous and successful. And it says over and over again, telling me to be strong and courageous and relying on God, Joshua 1:7, just like God told Joshua. So kids need a lot of encouragement. Amen? It's not easy being a kid. Sometimes we think it's not easy being an adult, but I think we have it a little easier because we get to tell the kids what to do most of the time. Anyway, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua had been following Moses for decades. He was an adult at this point. And he needed encouragement. Imagine if God had just been like, man, you spent all that time with Moses? Get your act in gear. You know? What if God had just been like that? Maybe Joshua would have just folded up into a ball and, you know, gotten useless, right? You see, we need encouragement. Children need encouragement. Because the bottom line is we're faced with things that sometimes are hard and they're scary. And they're difficult, and they need encouragement. McCall said, there are times where I just even encouraged her with this scripture. And if you look there, God knew he needed encouragement. He had just lost his mentor. You know, Moses had passed away. He was about to lead the people into the promised land. These emotions are real. When kids feel stuff, they feel stuff. When we feel stuff, right? You ever feel stuff that just real, you know? We just need encouragement. We just need to be built up. And even later on, the people encouraged him. You know, it's not just emotional courage. If you look here, the courage is specific. It says, be careful to obey all the law my Moses servant gave you. Do not turn to it. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. The courage God wants us to have is to go into his word and be able to follow it, to go into his teachings and precepts and concepts and underlying foundations and embrace it. And if we do, it gives us a promise. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You know, we need to understand if we follow the word of God, God will take care of us. He will lead us and direct us. It's not always a perfect path, but it's a path that leads to home. It leads to eternity. It leads to being with God. Amen? So God encouraged him. But you know what? Then God also expected him to do something. He didn't encourage him and then go and take care of what Joshua needed to do. Who got the people moving? Well, look in verse 10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan from here and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. See, God wanted to encourage him, but God wanted him to take action. You see, for us, we need to encourage, but we also need to not do everything for our kids. You need to take responsibility and make things happen. You know, with me, with the girls, you know, when they were growing up, I would want to put courage into them. So the earliest time of putting courage into them was when we used to go to McDonald's. We would go to McDonald's and we'd buy them a Happy Meal. And then they'd be like, we want some more fries. And I was like, sure, here's $2. You go up and order the fries. They're like, no, 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 I can't go order the fries. No, 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 don't make me do it. We would not relent. You want the fries? You go order the fries. We would put courage into them. We would make them go do it, but they would do it, right? We need to put courage into our kids, but we need to also give them the victories that shows what their courage actually can accomplish. Amen? So sometimes we want to encourage our kids, then we want to go and fix all of their problems without them having to do any of it. We can't. The courage doesn't wind up doing something that actually builds them up. You guys remember from Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down? A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, the medicine go down. Encouragement is that spoonful of sugar. Encouragement can let you tell your kids the things they need to do that are hard. And then they can go to God's word and gird up their loins and get strong and go and do the things that they need to do. Amen? Now, the girls have learned now to be confident and to advocate for themselves. You should hear McCall on the phone. She'll negotiate with anybody about anything. She'll argue with anybody about anything, and she gets stuff. All kinds of stuff. I'm like, how did you get that? I just asked for it. I just figured they could do it if I asked. And then when they went to college, when they would go to restaurants, Caitlin and McCall, all their friends were, I'm not talking to the waiter. I can't place an order. And Caitlin and McCall were like, what's your problem? Let's just order the food. Because the parents had never gotten the kids to go to order the McDonald's fries. Is okay? So if you got young kids, get them to go order their fries. So Joshua chapter 24 in verse 15 is the culmination of all of this. And this is where we need to have confidence as families. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua went from being a scared, sad, discouraged person at the beginning of Joshua to a confident, really outspoken advocate for God and the role God's going to play in his family. And we need to have that confidence that we're going to be the best thing we can be for our kids. But you see, at the end of his encouragement was where he drew the strength to make such a powerful statement. So we need to build each other up. We need to build up our kids. We need to send them out. And if they've never ordered French fries at McDonald's, get them to do it. Amen? If we go to the next slide, children need committed love. And if you'll turn to 1 John chapter 4, Caitlin's going to come up and share something. So if we could bring this mic up. something. She went through my notes and she said, I'd like to share about this. This one.
Hey, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Feel a little exposed. Thanks, Dad. But when I saw this point of my dad's that children need committed love, I was like, wow, that is so my dad. My dad has the biggest heart, just the biggest. He's an extremely loving man. Those of you who have known him or he's been involved personally in your life, you'll be able to attest to that too, just how loving my father is. For the men and women in this church, for the lost, for orphans in Haiti, for his friends, and especially for our family. His love is just immense. My dad will do anything for the people he loves, and I know that he will do anything for me because he loves me so much. I remember countless times in college, it would be, 11:30 at night, I realize I don't know what I'm doing for my physics homework or my calculus homework. Call up my dad, FaceTime my dad, and he'd stay up 1 o'clock in the morning helping me. Just because of his immense love for me. That reminds me so much of God's love, how God will do anything for me, how God's heart is so big, and how my Heavenly Father would do the same for me. I just recently moved home from Philadelphia, and my dad's so excited that I moved home. Painted my room, did all these things just to make me feel at home, to make me feel loved, to make me feel like I belong back in my house. He's so enthusiastic to meet my needs, anything I need. He's like, how can I make that happen for you? How can I help you? How can I show you love? And it's just becoming so obvious to me just how big his heart is for the church, for his family. He's a great uncle to my cousins when they need a father figure. My dad's love is unconditional, as I'm sure a lot of your fathers and the fathers in this room, your love for your children is unconditional. No matter how many times I leave all the lights on in the house and then leave and rack up our electricity bill, or no matter how many times I steal his pens from his office and take them as my own, no matter how many times we get in arguments because I'm prideful or because I think I know what I'm doing and I really don't, my dad is just there with open arms, ready to embrace me, ready to forgive me, and just remind me how much he loves me. And I'm so grateful for my father. I'm so grateful for just the opportunity that he embraced to show me God's love from a young age. It's so easy now for me to understand God's love because I saw it in my father. I saw, the unconditional nature of God's love and just how immense God's love is for me because my dad is the same way. So happy Father's Day. Love you.
Amen. Amen. And 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, John was known as the disciple of love. Well, here it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we should also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." Love, we need to really just make love just exude out from us. It needs to just jump out of our skin. And it's not just saying, oh, I love you. That's sometimes you can say those words, and they're valuable. But it's the things that come with those words. When I started working up in Mayapak, I started leaving the house at like 6:30 in the morning. And I used to take the girls to school when I taught in the city. And then I started going to Mayapak. I was like, I can't talk to them in the morning anymore. So I decided it's my dadly right. That's a word I made up. It's my dadly right to be able to call my children every morning at 7 o'clock in the morning and talk to them and talk about their day and pray with them. And they were like, Dad, it's so early. I'm like, this is my dadly right. I'm going to do this. And you're going to be with me. We're going to talk. And we're going to talk about our day. And we're going to pray about your day. And we did that all throughout middle school and high school. There's a point where it's got to stop. I can't call McCall now at 7 o'clock in the morning. I can't do that. But I might start doing that with Caitlin. But anyway, my point is that we need to have a heart where our actions, they meld with our emotions. And, you know, it's a whole bunch of things. It's going to their sporting events. It's having dinner together. We would almost every night. Not every family can do that, but you need to have a conviction having dinner together matters. It's going to their father-daughter dinner dances. It was going down to college and just showing up. It's going to, and when they were visiting colleges, visiting the churches as well, you know, really checking out what was going on in the place where they were going to go to school and go to church, you know, making sure all of that. Stopping everything whenever they were in need. There were just times where McCall was in a really sad place at certain points in college, and we thought we were stopping to say hi, and we just booked a hotel at the Quality Inn, and we took her out of her dorm room, and we spent the whole evening with her just hearing what was going on. Because college can be challenging. We need to understand college is not that easy thing. They're still growing up. They're still dealing with so much of life. And college can be a really challenging time in a kid's life because it's the first time they're on their own and completely independent. And then they make mistakes. And then sometimes they feel like they can't recover from the mistakes, and Satan just gets them. So all I'm saying is don't think your kids are off to college. I'm done with raising my kid. That's not accurate. We need to be really engaged at that level even. Amen? So we need to have that kind of love. We need to have that kind of passion for the kids. If you look in 3 John in chapter, and well, there's only one chapter, 3 John in verse 3. Children need fathers who are excited about them becoming Christians. If your kid's not yet a Christian, you need to be like expressing to them how great it is to be a Christian. You need to be talking to them about how awesome it is to be in Christ. And this is one that McCall wrote for me about this, and she wrote this actual scripture. And I was like, I didn't even think about it this way. It gives me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It may happen when they're young. It may happen when they're older. But there should be no greater joy than when your children want to be Christians. Amen? And you need to tell your kids, when you become a Christian, I'm going to be so excited for you. And we need to be expressing that for them and praying for that for them. Even if they don't want to hear it, we need to keep praying. God, work on them. God, I'll be so excited when they become a Christian. And John's just obviously referring to people in general, but McCall wrote this down. And just to, the last thing is in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24. For us as fathers, this is part of what would make you real excited to be a dad. The father of the righteous shall rejoice greatly, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have the joy of him. In other words, our kids bring us joy. Our kids bring us a lot of rejoicing, and we want to see that happen for our kids. So we need to have the heart that says, man, I'm looking forward to when my kids are becoming. If you got littler kids, you know, we're not going to pressure them, but we need to express vision for them. Sometimes we're so like reluctant to really communicate what's on our heart because they're like, oh, I don't want to push them. We need to tell them, this is important. This matters. This is great news if you make this kind of a decision. But we're trying to make our Father's house a home, amen? And as fathers, we're trying to make our house a home. This is the last little, as a piece of anonymous poetry. The walls of a house are not built of wood or brick or stone, but of truth and loyalty. The house is not a structure where bodies meet, but a hearthstone upon which flames mingle, separate flames of souls, which the more perfectly they unite, the more clearly they shine, and the straighter they rise toward heaven. And we all have. You know, McCall highlighted this poem because she just felt like it stood out as our home. So we need to strive as dads to create this kind of home for our kids and have a vision for our kids doing these things. And in general, the precepts that apply to kids apply to us all, right? Because we're just big kids. We got bigger toys. Some of us have bigger debts. But most of us, at the bottom line, we just want to be encouraged. We want to be loved. And we want to be believed in. And those are all the things that God wants to do for us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to love us. And he wants to express vision for us, how great it'll be walking in Christ and living that life. Amen? Happy Father's Day.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.